Good morning. Today is Friday, October 27th, 2023, and the time is 8:30 a.m. I now call the meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. At this time, I'll conduct a roll call. Rosie Morris.
Here.
Hector Cerna.
Present.
We have a quorum of the Audit Committee with three members present. If there's anyone wishing to address the Audit Committee, please fill out a witness affidavit form and bring it to the front. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes and agenda items to 10 minutes. The first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on August 18th of 2023. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes?
No.
Move to approve the minutes for August 18th, 2023 as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion, members? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. The motion carries. Now move on to item B, Commissioner Cooper.
Our audit activity reports on page 7. Just briefly, the Texas Workforce Commission audit that will be done for the personnel policy and procedure will be done. We've been notified that it'll be done probably in May. And then the DIR AT&T control penetration test we're going to discuss in executive session today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have three items on our report. One is the follow-up related to the Garza Gonzalez audit on our payroll and HR area, and we had several items we were implementing. Those have all been completed. We also have the web application vulnerability scan and control penetration test results to discuss in executive session today. And then the last item is a pending item that we need. We're awaiting clarification. This will likely remain on the report until our next Criminal Justice Information System audit. Okay.
That's it.
Great.
Commissioner Redd.
Yes, on page 9, you'll see the update. This is with respect to the mortgage examinations. That was concluded on June 9th in the report. And please report that we have completed all the additional training that was scheduled for October and did that this week. So this should be the final update that you receive on this one.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Item C is next. Commissioner Cooper.
Again, on page 11, we have the report on our seized prepaid funeral funds. We have no seized funds at this time. On page 12, we have the trust-funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund report. Indicates that interest received about $16,000. We have $18,500 deduction from the fund. It has to do with consumer restitution that was paid. And then we have other additions, $4,300 has to do with the restitutions we received from the funeral homes. So we end up with a balance of $1,443,000. And underneath on page 13, we have the same report, but it's for the insurance funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund. $981,000 at the activity is the interest received, ending up with a fund balance of $994,000. And that's our report.
Thanks, sir. Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our fourth quarter investment officer report start on page 14. I'd like to ask Moran Diamond to review the report.
Good morning. Moran Diamond, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. The Texas Financial Education Endowment investment officer report is on page 14 of your packet. You'll notice additions of $7,600 in Q4, as well as grant disbursements totaling approximately $15,000. You'll also note overall increase in the value of the invested portfolio with a total value of approximately $10.9 million. And then on the following page 15, there is normal activity for the recovery fund.
That's it.
Commissioner Redd.
Pages 16 and 17, Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, normal activity with respect to the report on page 16 on the recovery fund and the earmarks therein. And we have nothing to report in terms of any maturing obligations or certificates of deposit. So nothing out of the ordinary there. And then on page 16 is the mortgage grant fund. We'll have further in the meeting, we'll have more detail on the mortgage grant fund, but this is the cash and cash equivalents as of the end of August.
Thank you, sir. Members, do I hear a motion to recommend the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2023 fourth quarter investment officer reports?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Any discussion, members? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it, the motion carries. Moving on to item D, Commissioner Cooper.
Report starts on page 19. Sammy Chadley, please come forward and give our report.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. On page 19 is our operating statement for the period ending August 31st, 2023. Our actual revenues for the quarter are at 19.7% of budget for the quarter. However, for the year, they are at 90.8%. I will go over more detail on the revenue side on the following page. For expenditures, our actuals are at 79.2% of budget for the quarter. On page 20 and 21 is our variance explanation sheet. I will go over five items. Most of them are on the revenue side. First one, bank and trust regulation. Our actual revenues were less than budgeted due to the reduction in the fourth quarter bank assessments of approximately $3.9 million. Year-to-date, bank and trust regulation revenue is at 86.3% of budget, and that was adequate to cover all direct and indirect costs of the bank and trust area. Under the non-depository supervision, the variance for the quarter is related to no assessment collections due to the higher collection of penalties than were anticipated. Year-to-date revenue for that area is at 95.6% of budget, and that was also adequate to cover all direct and indirect costs. Penalties for non-depository supervision, that variance is due to the higher than anticipated collected penalties, primarily from unlicensed money services businesses. Now moving on to the expenditure side, our employee compensation and benefits, we have a positive variance, and that is related to vacant staff positions. Our vacancies, our vacancies as of August 31st, we had 15 on the administrative side and 16 on the financial examiner side. The last item, under miscellaneous operating costs, we have a positive variance, and that's mainly due to lower than anticipated deferred maintenance expenditures and a lower assessment from the state Office of Risk Management. Any questions so far? On page 22 is our liquidity report. As mentioned in the August budget presentation, we were able to effectively manage our finances, and we are ending our unreserved cash at 2.09 months for the year. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our financial presentation begins on page 23, and Moran Diamond is going to walk us through.
Good morning. Thank you. So first quarter, end of year financial statements are on page 23 of your packet. As the commissioner mentioned, I just want to highlight a few items from the variance analysis. First, starting with revenue, overall revenues are 100.6% of the year-to-date budget. Moving to expenditures, overall expenditures are 91% of the budget. I'll highlight just a few categories. First, with professional fees, this category is approximately 24% under budget due to lower than anticipated legal and some other professional services for the year. Information technology is approximately 27% under budget due to the timing of and change in scope of some IT projects. And lastly, miscellaneous operating costs is approximately 19% under budget due to lower fees for receiving electronic payments than anticipated, as well as some temporary employment agencies that were not utilized as forecast. And finally, the SWACAP reimbursement payment was significantly less than expected.
Which is the statewide allocation, cost allocation plan that we have to reimburse the state.
Right.
Highly variable.
Yeah, those acronyms are tricky. Moving to the liquidity report on page 25, total unreserved cash at the end of the period was $2.3 million, with 3.2 months of operating costs available, which is within the 2 to 6 month guidelines of the commission's liquidity policy.
Thank you very much. Ms. Renner?
Yes, Antonia Antoff, Director of Operations, will provide the commentary. The report begins on page 26, and the financial statements and liquidity report will be on page 28.
Good morning, Antonia Antoff for Savings and Mortgage Lending. Our fourth quarter financials, as Commissioner Reddy said, starts on page 26. We have outlined the deviations in the variances on page 27. I just want to point out a couple of items. Overall, we're at 4.5% over budget in revenues and 10.9% under in expenditures. Most of the variances in revenues, the thrift industries is over. In revenues collected more than budgeted, in the mortgage industry it was under, and we have made adjustments in the budgeted amounts for next year to kind of balance that. The expenditures, the biggest difference in expenditures is from personnel cost, as that's the biggest part of our budget, just from vacancies. And I'll be happy to address any questions on the financials. All the other variances are described, but I'll be happy to provide details. The liquidity report is on page 28, and as of the end of the year, we were at 3.09 months of reserves, which is in compliance with the policy, with the Finance Commission policy on cash reserves.
Any questions? I commend each agency for staying within that parameters of that under 6 months on your cash reserves. So good job to all three. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2023 fourth quarter financial statements?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion, members? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item E is next, Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are very proud to be bringing to you recommendations related to grant awards for the next cycle for the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund. And I'd like to, first of all, thank Patricia Hoard for her tremendous efforts and as our grant coordinator and walking us through this process to receive new grant applications and select new recommendations for grant awards. She's done great work and really extended our outreach, but let me let her make the presentation. I don't want to take away some of the things she's planning to say, but I want to recognize Patricia and take it away, Patricia.
Thank you, Commissioner. Patricia Hoard, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. We're starting on page 29 of your packet. As the Commissioner mentioned, we just wrapped up our application cycle. We did quite a bit of outreach and we had a great amount of interest. As you can see from the packet, we received over 50 applications and they were requesting in the neighborhood of $4 million worth of funding, which was wonderful to see the interest. So therefore, the Grant Advisory Committee had a very big job ahead of them to objectively evaluate and review the applications. And I want to give a special thanks to Dr. Morris and Laura Warren and the other members of the committee who worked through an impartial and transparent process to maximize the impact of TP funding. The Grant Advisory Committee specifically focused on the TP priorities of geographic areas being represented throughout Texas, innovative programs serving unique and underserved populations, et cetera. As you may know, the Finance Commission approved $730,000 in funding for the 2024-25 cycle. The Advisory Committee has recommended 10 awardees in the amount of $735,700, which would allow all recommended awardees to receive their fully requested funding amounts. You have a little more detailed information about the grantees in the document on your desk. Are there any questions at this time?
Well, I know several members, Quinte and I always echo that we'd like to give us more money if we could, and I think we're reaching that level. very respectable matter.
Yeah, with the Finance Commission's support, this is a large step forward in this program. But I think the organizations really rallied around that idea, and they're very grateful. And I think it really magnifies the impact that this program can have. So we appreciate the Finance Commission's guidance and support on that level. And so, yes, this is a slight increase in funding over what was approved in June. So. But
having served on the committee, it was great to see so many great applications fulfilling each of the areas. And it was great to serve on that selection committee.
Thank you for doing that.
Thank you for, it was a lot of work. It's a lot of work to evaluate all these applications, but it's rewarding. Right, so we appreciate your
the support. Increased number of applications obviously is due to our outreach.
Yes, Patricia's worked really hard to increase, you know, that was one of the goals that we had, was to try to increase the outreach, especially since we were going to be expanding the funding. So,
and we even had current and prior grantees who were doing outreach as well, which was interesting to see.
Good.
So the OCCC requests that the Audit Committee recommend that the Finance Commission approve the above listed organizations and funding amounts for the TP grant awards during the 2024-2025 cycle.
So, Chairman, I have a question. Do we want to approve going from the $730,000 to $735,000 first, or approve all the grantees?
Do all the grantees first, then we'll
okay.
So do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the final selection of organizations to receive the grant funds from the Texas Financial Endowment, Education Endowment Fund?
So moved.
Dr. Serna, second?
Second.
Any discussion, members? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now, you would like to make a motion?
To increase the funding amount for the TFEE grant cycle to $735,700 for this cycle.
And that motion, do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Would you like me to move on to
yes.
Item F? Okay. So TP had normal activities for the third cycle. We're on track to spend down the TP funds. You can see in your packet, beginning on page 31, the semi-annual report for the third cycle. Just want to give you a couple of highlights. One of our grantees, the Easter Seals of Greater Houston, added 40 new families to their long-term one-on-one counseling to working towards home buying or purchasing a home. And one of our grantees in the K-12 area partnered with a nonprofit called Troutwood, who has donated the use of their app so that students, they can track students' progress after they leave the program. So that was really nice to see. The final cycle of the 2022-2023 grant term wraps up at the end of the year. So we're close to the end of that, about to start 24-25. And I just want to say thank you and see if you had any questions.
If one of these individuals that are just wrapping up, they can then turn around and reapply, is that correct? Or another grant? Going forward, is there any limitations of they have to set out a certain period of time before they reapply for a?
That's a good question. At this time, there are no limitations. That is something that we're going to discuss. We're going to meet with the Grant Advisory Committee in the next month or so to discuss whether or not that's something we want to add to the process or not, especially because of the response that we had this cycle.
So some of the grantees that you approved for the next cycle are current grantees and some are not, right? So some continued on and some, we had some apply that didn't make the top scores or were funded for particular reasons.
But. And it's approximately 50% are previous grantees and 50% are new.
Okay, but there's no stipulation that you have to sit out. You can reapply if
not at this time.
Not at this time.
Right. Okay.
But the committee discussed that about whether or not that might,
yeah.
We might want to consider that in the future, but we don't currently.
Good. Any other questions, members? Thank you very much. Mr. Pettijohn, item F. That was it? Okay. Now we'll go to item G, Commissioner Retta.
Yes, on page 47, the statement on the mortgage grant fund reporting the total that was requested and reimbursed On the subsequent pages, beginning on page 48, is the full report, which is or the semi-annual full report, which provides more detail with respect to who the grantees were and how much has remained. And on page 51 in particular, it has a good summary and a good reference point for the grantees, what was awarded, what was the total. The total was $645,278 for the year and what has been funded so far. And then the subsequent pages provide detail on the recipients and the programs that they have in place.
Very good. Members, any questions? Thank you, Commissioner. Texas Department of Banking and Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner will need to discuss items H in executive session. Audit Committee and Finance Commission agencies will also need to discuss item I in the executive session. So at this time, it is 8:51 a.m. on October 27th. The Audit Committee of the Finance Commission will go into a closed session pursuant to Government Code Sections 551.076 and 551.089 regarding agenda items H and I. For the record, for the first part of the executive session will be the Department of Banking Commissioner Charles Cooper, Deputy Commissioner Wendy Rodriguez, Deputy General Counsel Marcus Adams, and the Director of Management Information Services, Jesse Garcia. In attendance for the second part of the executive session will be OCCC Commissioner Pettyjohn, General Counsel Matt Nance. And for the final part of the executive session, in attendance will be three Finance Commission agencies commissioners, Department of Banking Deputy Commissioner Wendy Rodriguez, Department of Banking Chief Financial Officer Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking Deputy General Counsel Marcus Adams, OCCC Director of Human Resources, Finance and Licensing Moran Diamond, and SML Director of Operations Antoni Enzo. Assistant Attorney General Amber Millis will be joining us from the Attorney General's office for the entire executive session. We anticipate the executive session to last approximately 1 hour. Commissioners, is that?
I need to add one additional person that will be in my executive session. That's Information Security Officer Thomas White.
Record reflects that. We held in the conference room just behind us here, and the staff will be attended accordingly. So at this time, we'll go into executive session. Welcome back. It's 9:50 and we're now back in open session. At this time, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the selection of an internal auditor, Garza Gonzalez and Associates, for the Finance Commission agencies for the fiscal year 2024.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion, members? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. The motion carries. There being no further business of this meeting, the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas, the time is now adjourned at 9:50 a.m. Thank you very much.
Thank you.